Good morning. How are you all doing today? Great. Well, I wanted to start off by talking about what I'm wearing today. I'm wearing this traditional clothing from Uganda, and Uganda. I'm planning on wearing something like this maybe once a month, probably the last week of every month, and just to serve. I'm hoping that it'll serve as a reminder that we have people from all around the world in our congregation here. And I'm hoping that we can also remember that a lot of us here are part of the minority in Taiwan. I just want to remember that there are people, even within our church, that experience feeling like they're part of the minority, even within our church. And so just to be open, keep our eyes open to the people that are around us, and to just remember each other and pray for each other. Also, I wanted to say to the worship team, terima kasih. And for all of the worship team leaders that serve week in and week out, for the person that organizes our worship teams, thank you guys. I know it takes a lot to practice and to prepare every single week. Or to practice for the week that you're serving. So thank you so much for how you're serving our church in this way. Just wanted to say a quick hello to the people that are listening online, and we hope that you could join us the next time around. I just wanted to share with you guys, just a moment to share with you guys something that I experienced from the time that I started this position at the beginning of September, and something that occurred this past week. The second week that the second week of September after I began, I got an email from a brother who was living in New Mexico. And he just sent me a random email. I didn't know how he got my email, but he sent me an email and he said, "Pastor, please pray for me. I'm about to die. I have stage 4 cancer, and Jesus Christ, your prayers are my only hope." That's what he said. And so I started corresponding with him. I sent him an email, and I told him that the elders and I would be praying for him. And he shared with me how a while back, his wife used to attend our church. And I don't know if any of you might recognize this name, but if you do, please come and talk to me afterwards. His name was Michael Cox. He didn't tell me what his wife's name was, but he said a while back his wife used to attend this church. Again, his name is Mike Cox. And at the end of October, he told me that he was going to go into surgery. And about 2 weeks back, he did. His body was really weak, and this past week, I got a text message, so I started text messaging with him. I got a text message from the doctor who said that he passed away in the middle of last week. Before he passed away, he told me that he believed in Jesus Christ. His wife passed away already. He had no kids. And he was all alone, and that he felt that friendship was his only family left because we were praying for him. We don't know when our lives will end. We don't know when Christ will return. And I know that a lot of us are struggling through all kinds of trials. Even as we heard about the accident that happened in Ilan, the train accident, we know that there are a lot of families that are struggling. And so I just want to say to every one of us here, let's turn to the Lord. He is our only hope. And let's tell other people about the Lord, because He is our only hope. We don't know when our time will come. We don't know when our children's time will come. We don't know when our parents' time will come. Jesus Christ is our only hope. With that said, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are our only hope. Lord, we know that there are a lot of people that are struggling and suffering from all kinds of trials in their lives. And so, Lord, help us to see clearly today that you are here, that you exist, that you are alive, and that you do bring hope. Help us to turn to you, Lord. And as we turn to your word, your truth, I pray that you would speak to every heart here today. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Today we want to continue our study through the book of Acts. We've been going through a series called The Beginnings. And last week we started talking about fellowship. And today we will continue that. The title for today is Serving the Church and how we can serve one another. There are so many people in this world that have needs. There are so many people, as we go out to Taiwan, there are so many people that have needs. But not only them, we have a lot of people here in our church that have all kinds of needs. As we're talking about fellowship, we want to catch the idea that it's about being concerned for each other. It's about being committed to one another. Being a part of this church, this covenant community, is about being a family here together. And we need to discover what these needs are that exist among us here. And there are people among us that have needs, different kinds of needs. And you know what? I want to admit to you that I'm only one person. Yes, I'm the pastor. Yes, we have elders, and yes, it is our job to go out and look for the needs that are out there, to be praying for you guys, but there's just a few of us, and we cannot reach out to every single person here. But if all of us did it together, we could. If all of us would be concerned for each other and be committed to each other, we could. But you know what? It's possible that our church will continue to grow. And in our specific context, in our church, we see a lot of people come and go. Some of us here, we're planning on leaving in the next few months. Some of us are leaving in the next year. We see a lot of people come and go. And so because of that, it's hard for us to know who everyone in our church is. And there will continually be needs, new needs that come up. And so the big question for today is, how do we address all these needs that exist in our church? How do we address all these needs? And what we're going to be going over today is, number one, it starts with compassion for each other. Yes, there's a bunch of needs that are out there in the world, but how are we going to love the world if we're not able to love each other? We need to start with sharing God's love, Jesus' love, with each other first. And so that we could share with the world that Jesus' love is real and it's happening here. It starts with compassion. And then secondly, we need to realize that there will be some challenges that we face as we seek to love each other, as we seek to find out each other's needs. There will be challenges. Number three, it may require changes in our church. It may require changes. And eventually we will get to the fact that Jesus Christ is the key to it all. The key to finding how we are able to love each other and to meet each other's needs. So again, they all start with C. It starts with compassion. We need to realize that there may be some challenges. It might require some changes, but it'll all come to resolve through Christ. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 6. There are Bibles in front of you. If you don't have a Bible on you, you could use the Bibles that are in front of you. It's also on the screen up here. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. All right, this is the reading of God's Word. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Amen. Oh, sorry, and verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Amen. There are a lot of needs in our church. How do we begin to meet them? It starts with compassion. We talked about last week, we talked about fellowship. We talked about being a covenant community. And in fact, we're looking at Acts chapter 4 and chapter 5. This is a little bit before today's passage. And so it kind of sets the background, it kind of sets the setting of our story today, of our passage today. When we talk about fellowship, what we talked about last time was that the people came together with one heart and one soul. They were committed to each other. And as they were committed to each other, as they began to get to know each other, they started finding out that people among them had needs. And if people received the love of Christ, they wanted to share that same love with the people around them. And it started within the church. It started among believers. And even in today's passage, what you'll see is that this is not looking out for the needs of just any random person out there. This is looking out for the needs of the church, of the people that are within the church. And so it starts with compassion for each other. For those people back then, in the book of Acts, they had the poor among them that began to believe. They had widows who in that culture didn't have anyone that could care for them. They had all sorts of people with all kinds of needs in their church. And so they began to be concerned for one another and began to care for one another. And something to start thinking about is, what are the needs that exist in our church? What are the needs that exist among us here? Well, as we think about that, I want to remind us that we need to show compassion to one another because we were shown compassion. We need to serve and be committed to one another because even Jesus himself served us and was committed to us. Now, when we think about the poor, and especially here in Taiwan, we do see some people out there that are on the streets. But you guys know, Taiwan has a great system, right? When we're talking about social issues, Taiwan does a great job of taking care of people here. And so maybe in some ways it's harder for us to find out what the needs are. I heard that there's one orphanage in Taipei City where they do a great job, government-funded. They do a great job of taking care of the orphans. And some churches want to partner with them, and some missionaries want to partner with them and said, "Hey, we want to bring people to you to help you out with the orphanage." And the orphanage says, "Oh, thank you so much." But in fact, they didn't need any help. And so what they did was they created a project where every year people would come and repaint the walls. It doesn't make sense, but that's what they're doing because there's not much need out there. But there are needs. There are different kinds of needs that exist. Well, as we think about these needs, even within our church, and even as we think about how our church may continue to grow, or as we think about how people, new people, constantly come into our church, one thing that will happen is that there will be some challenges. Okay, so that's our second point. There will be some challenges. What happened in the church back then? Well, what we know in the passage and in chapters before is that the church began to grow and there were up to 5,000 people in the church. That's a lot of people. There were 5,000 people, and so they started to find out what the needs were of the people, and you guys know that some of them sold all their belongings, not all of them, but some of them sold all their belongings, and they brought the funds to the apostles, and the apostles started distributing the funds, and they probably used the funds to start giving meals and to feed people. They started meeting their needs in a bunch of different ways, maybe even by giving them clothes and different things. So that's what they started doing. But then what they found was that if you look at verse 1 with me, it says, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose by the Hebrews against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution." Something happened here. The numbers were growing, and there were needs that existed. But then as there were more people, more needs, there began to be a complaint. Now, did this complaint arise because it was because of someone's sin? Was it because the people were dividing against each other? No, it just happened because there were more people. And so not all challenges to the church may come up because of sin. There might be other kinds of challenges that arise, and there will be complaining that happens. There will be different kinds of things that come up, and it may not always be because of sin. All right, I wanted to explain a little bit about who the Hellenists were, who the Hebrews were, and what really contributed to this conflict. Well, who were the Hellenists? The Hellenists were Jews who were living abroad away from Israel. They were diaspora Jews. They were living abroad, and since they grew up there, or maybe even born there, they grew up in a Hellenistic culture, or in other words, a Greek culture. They grew up in that culture, and so within them, they not only had the Jewish culture, because they were still observing Jewish practices, but they also had Hellenistic culture, the Hellenistic culture in them. They probably had a dividing of cultures in their mindset. They're probably sometimes that there are some conflicts between these two cultures, even within their own mind. They probably had different cultural practices that they did and that they were okay with, that maybe the Jews weren't. And in some ways, sometimes, they were more, they're better at preserving the Jewish culture than even people back at home because they remember the Jewish culture from many years back before they moved out, and that's the culture that they preserved. To give a little bit of an example of what that's like, I'm Korean-American. My parents are from Korea, but I was born in America, and I grew up in America. Growing up, at home, I experienced the Korean culture. When I went to school, and with all my friends, I experienced the American culture. I have a Korean culture that's different from the Koreans in Korea. They have a 2018, I'm looking at my watch, but I don't need to, but 2018 culture, Korean culture. I have a 1970s Korean culture. It's different from them. And so some people think that I'm more traditional, I'm more whatever, whatever. And so even if I go back to Korea, they don't accept me as Korean. So that's me. That's perhaps what the Hellenistic Jews were going through. Perhaps they were being neglected because they were of the minority. Whereas everyone else, the majority, they were the Hebrew Jews that grew up in that culture. They were different maybe in language, but they all believed in the same God. And they were all Christian. This was happening within the church. So because, again, they were the minority, somehow it ended up being that they were neglected. The Hellenistic Jews, the widows among them, were neglected. Well, again, there was a daily distribution of food. They were trying to meet the needs of the people, but a group of them were neglected. The church at that time, they had different ways. They could have taken different approaches of dealing with this situation. They could have ignored the problem and just said, oh yeah, I know that's going on, we know that's going on, but there's so much work here, we just don't have enough time to deal with that. Could have ignored it. Or they could have done a quick fix by saying, oh, they're being neglected, all right, let's just give them the food for now, and it'll be done with. But then if they just handled it that way, what would have happened? Somewhere down the line, they would have been neglected again. Right? That's not how the church handled it. And the third point is this. You know, if we want to meet the needs of our church, we need to first of all show compassion. We need to realize that there will be some challenges. But number three, our churches may need to change and not do the things that we used to do. Our church might have to change some ways that we do things to meet the needs, the new needs that come up within the church. And that's what they did. That's what happened in the early church here. The apostles, the 12, it says in verse 2, they summoned the full number of the disciples. Now, if you could imagine what that was like, 5,000 people gathered together. The full number of the disciples, and they said, it's not right that we should give up the preaching of the word to serve tables, okay? When they started thinking about this challenge, what they started to think about first was, what was our priority? What does our church need to focus on? And what they came to understand was that the preaching of the word, the work that the elders were doing, the preaching of the word and the prayers were the most important thing, and so the elders needed to focus on that. Why? Because if you think about it, what if we just focused on meeting all the people's needs and we didn't focus on the preaching of the word? What if we didn't look to God's word as much anymore and we're just focused on meeting people's needs? What would happen? We would lose the purpose of why we even exist. We would lose why we're doing all this stuff. It's for Jesus Christ. It's because of Jesus Christ. And that's why the preaching of the word was so important. That's why prayers were so important. Because we're looking to God. We're leaning upon Him. We're declaring that God is the reason why we do all of this stuff. And we're also looking to Him for help. Because it's only from Him that we're able to get our strength. And so they thought about their priorities. And as they did that, they said, we cannot meet all the needs of the people. We cannot go around serving all the tables for 5,000 people. So we're going to focus on this, and we're going to change our structure a little bit. We're going to change our structure, and we're going to find people that can serve tables, that can help with serving tables. So what did they do? They decided to find 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit, this is in verse 3, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and it says, whom we will appoint. Okay, so let's talk about verse 3 a little bit. It talks about how they're looking for people of good repute, of good reputation, people that are known among the people. All right, so this is perhaps where the idea of deacons started. And when we think about deacons and we're looking for deacons, we need to look for those people that have a good reputation What does that mean? What does it mean to have a good reputation? It doesn't mean that a person is just quietly sitting there among the 5,000 people and they're just kind of sitting there doing their own thing and like they're just so spiritual on their own. That's not what it's talking about. They're people that are visible. And so perhaps these people were already serving in some type of leadership way. Maybe not with an official position, but they were taking initiative to go out and serve. They were taking initiative to go out and help. I don't think the 12 apostles by themselves were actually going around serving tables, but perhaps they were directing people. And so these people that were appointed were probably people that were visible and that had a good reputation among certain people. So they were of good repute. But also they were full of the Spirit and of wisdom. The apostle said, look for people that are mature in their faith, that are full of the Spirit, that are affected by what God is doing in their lives, that are affected by the Holy Spirit's work in their lives, people that have grown in their faith, people that are mature, and people that have wisdom to know how to find those issues that exist, that are able to solve those issues, that have the wisdom to know how to even speak with people, how to serve people in a godly way. And if we look in 1 Timothy 3, it talks about what some of the characteristics of a deacon are. And in there, it talks about how both men and women can become deacons. Now, I just want to make clear, if you guys look to 1 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about deacons, and then in some translations, it talks about their wives. But then in other translations, it says deacons and then deaconesses. Now, I take the view, and our church does also, that both men and women can become deacons. And I would translate that to deacons and deaconesses. All right? So just for your own benefit, if you guys ever look to 1 Timothy 3, all of the characteristics of what should be looked for in deacons is there. But not only that, it's important to note that here when it says in verse 2, it's not right that we should give up the preaching of the word of God to serve tables. This word serve is the word, is the same word as the word, or it has the same root as the word deacon. It's the same word, this word serve, it's the same word that's used to translate into the word ministry. And so what the apostles were saying is, it's not right that we give up the preaching of the word to minister the tables. But then also later on, down in verse 4, it says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The same word there. It's the same word in Greek. And so what that means is that it's not like the elders are up here and the deacons are down here. It's not like a difference in how great or how little. Like if you're not a deacon, then the next step to becoming a mature believer is to become a deacon. And then the next step to becoming a more mature believer is to become an elder. It's not like that. Basically, it's different ministries, different roles. Some have roles to lead and to shepherd. Some have roles to physically minister, to administrate. And so they're just different roles, but they are both ministries according to the passage here. One is the ministry of the word, it's the serving of the word, and one is the ministry of tables or physical matters. That's the serving of tables. All right. So that's what happened back then. They decided to change the structure. And what we go by today is that we want to hold on to the structure that they set back then with elders and deacons existing in our church. But then how the elders work and how the deacons work in our church, sometimes we need to change things up. We need to change things up so that we can meet the needs of our people here. Now, why do we need this? Why is this important? Well, because for our church, if we are able to minister to the people with both the Word of God, constantly pointing people to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and we're also able to meet their physical needs, to be able to meet people where they're at, then people's lives will be changed. Not only the people in our church, but the people out there, their lives will be changed. One thing that our sister Donna, our head deacon, says is, we serve in to serve out. We serve in to serve out. And I think that's right. Jesus Christ said himself, if we love one another, then the world will know that we are, that you are his disciples. Jesus says, if we love one another, then the world will know that we are his disciples. And so it's important for us to commit to each other in this way, to serve each other in this way. And in that way, the world will know. In verse 7, at the very end, it says, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Even the leaders out there, even the leaders out there will come to believe. If you think about it, the Taiwanese government is doing a lot to serve the country. And I think they're doing a great job. But then if we here as a church, if we're able to see the other needs that exist, and we're bringing God's word to the people, and we're saying, look, we are helping to meet the needs of the people, then perhaps even those people in government, perhaps those people that are serving the people out there, perhaps even they will come to believe. So that's why it's important. But there's an issue that comes up over and over. And it occurs in government organizations, and it occurs in the church. What is that issue that comes up? The issue is that we become tired of serving. The needs are endless. We become tired of serving each other. And complaints might come up, and we're like, we're doing our best to serve you. And there's still complaints? Don't you see our hearts? We're trying to serve you, and you're still complaining? And there might be this kind of attitude that comes up. And some of us, we're just so busy serving our families. We're so busy serving our spouses. We're so busy serving our workplaces, our children. We're so busy serving other students that are out there with their needs. There's so many needs that are out there. We're just so... it could become very tiring. And I just want to share a story with you guys about how that tiredness can really come about in our lives. I take my kids to school every day, and I pick them up from school. And I used to walk that distance of picking up all three kids and dropping them off at three different schools, three different locations. And every day I would do that, dropping them off and then picking them up, and then also including my time of going to get lunch and coming back. I get 10,000 steps every day just by doing that. My wife, Polly, was concerned for me, and so she bought a bike for our family, and then we got the kids' seats, one in the front, one in the back, and then one in the front. And so we're just like everyone else here that has the kids in the front. We have them on the back and the front. So I got that. My son got a bike where he's able to bike himself. Whereas before, when I was walking, and there's a few times that I biked myself, I had all three kids on the bike with me. We were a circus act. But then now Timmy had his own bike, and then I had our bike with the two seats. And I have to carry all their backpacks. Put all their backpacks, hung a couple in the back, on the back seat, put one in the front. Timmy says his backpack is too heavy and he'll lose control if I don't hold his backpack for him, so I put his backpack in the front. I have my work bag with me. And sometimes Claire, she has roller skates with all her protective gear, in this huge bag that I hang on the handle, And then sometimes we also have the blanket, their sleeping bag that we have to bring to school, and that's on the other handle. And I'm biking like this, going to school, dropping them off and picking them up, coming back home. On top of that, it was raining the past few weeks, right? And I had my rain gear and my kids had their rain gear. And so, like, I have these straps that make it tight and my face is like this. And I'm trying to go through the rain and I'm like so tired. On top of that, one day, I was trying to bike with this huge bag on the side, and then I was trying to go, and then the back got caught on the tire, and then the tire got bent, and then so I was trying to push through with the tire bent, and it was like constantly rubbing on the brakes, and it was just harder to ride. And I did that for a couple of days, and my knee started hurting. And then the latest thing was that as I was doing that, this one lady just came right in front of me, and I had to brake, and then Timmy ran into me, and then he fell down while it was raining. And I had the two girls in front of, I mean, the girls on the bike with me with all the bags, and I couldn't get up. I was like, get up, Timmy. And I'm trying to be good about it all. I'm trying to serve my kids with all my heart. And some of you guys are serving your parents, and it's hard. Some of you guys are serving your workplaces, and it's hard. Some of you are serving here in the church, and it's hard. And at times in your heart, on the outside, you're just trying to keep that smile. But on the inside, there's a lot of things that are coming out. Why does it have to be so hard? Why is it so difficult? And there's so much pressure on your shoulders. And sometimes you even feel it physically. You feel your heart beating. You feel like you can't sleep. Your mind is racing. And it's just so difficult. And you just want to complain. You just want to say, why is my life like this? Why is my life so unfortunate? In Chinese, you might say, yes, my life is just 真倒霉, you know? It's just so unfortunate. So everything is going wrong in my life right now. You just want to yell at people, maybe yell at your kids, yell at your spouse. Everything is so difficult, and you're there, and you're crying out to God, saying, God, why is everything so difficult? And in that moment, if we would just remember, Christ says, I've taken all that burden already on my shoulders. I've died on the cross to take all your burden. It is done. It is accomplished. Just take a deep breath and remember that I've taken everything for you already. And you can go on to serve these people, not with all the weight, not with all the burden on you, but remembering that it's already taken away. And with light feet, with an overflowing heart of love, you can go and continue to serve with gratitude and joy for what Christ has done. Some of you guys might say, I'm serving so many people. Who will take care of me? Jesus Christ says, I've been here for you. I am taking care of you. Ghost, open your eyes and see that I am here for you. Put your trust in me. I love you. I have taken your burden for you. There will constantly be needs in our church. We need to grow as a church to have compassion for each other, realize that there will be challenges. We need to make changes sometimes. But in the end, we do all this because of what Christ has done for us. Because of what Christ has done for us. Christ is the key. Let's pray together. I want to ask the worship team to come up and I want to ask us to take a moment to pray. If there are burdens on your heart, if there are areas in your life where you feel tired, take a moment now to lift it to the Lord and just say to him, God, I am tired and I need you in my life. Help me to fix my eyes on you once again. Help me to repent in this way, to turn back to you again, not to depend on myself, but to depend on you. Take a moment to pray, and soon after we'll sing a song together.